You're listening to a 3CR podcast created in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.
Sabah al-khair, good morning. This is Yusuf and today is a special episode. I'm very pleased to be joined here in the studio by two amazing activists, Alice Drury and Hannah Shomali, who will talk to us about Voices Under Fire, happening this Thursday, the 6th of November. Alice, thank you for taking the time to come to the studio.
Oh, it's a delight to be here, Yusuf. Thank you.
Hello, Hannah.
Hello, Yusuf.
Alice, tell us about yourself. And if you don't mind me mentioning that you are not from a Palestinian background, how and why you came to be involved in organizing Voices Under Fire?
Yeah, thanks, Yusuf. No, I'm a white settler in Australia. I first became, I suppose, educated about Palestine when I was living in Iran for a couple of years. So I was lucky enough to be there. And I think it's one thing to know something in theory, like academically, about colonization of the Middle East. And it's another thing to be there.
Were you in Iran as part of your work or just a visit?
No, I was there. I studied Iranian studies as a master's course, which was honestly just an excuse to get a visa that would last longer than 2 weeks and get to spend some proper time in Iran and an opportunity to learn Farsi. There was quite a lot of conversation.
You came very close to the region.
You did. Yeah, yes. Yeah. That's right. Mm. That's right. And there was so much kind of great conversation about Palestine and people have been there and it really opened my eyes to the experience of colonization and Zionism in Palestine. So that's kind of how I first had my moment of awakening, I guess. And then a friend of mine from those days who I studied with, she's Saudi Palestinian and she is now an actor in London. And she reached out about a year ago to say that they were doing this in London. They've done it about 20 times. They've had a lot of success. And will we do something similar in Australia? So that's how we've ended up kind of getting the idea and where it's all been born from.
Well, we'll come back to you and get to know you more. But I want to ask the same question to my fellow Palestinian, Hannah Shomali. Tell us about yourself. Who is Hannah Shomali? And I also will reveal a secret that music is another mutual area of interest between us.
Sure. I'm first generation Australian. My family moved over in the 60s from Beit Zuhur near Bethlehem in Palestine. I love what I've been taught about my family's culture back in Palestine, and it has formed a huge part of my identity and who I feel I am. As a person in Australia, not quite fitting anywhere, has been quite challenging growing up with that. Yeah, I mean, like you said, I found myself really sort of gravitating towards the arts and the creative world, visual arts, writing and music. My main love is writing songs.
What genre do you feel that represents you?
I have to hyphenate about 12 different genres.
Wow.
But to be as concise as possible, I'm going to say indie pop rock.
Okay. Well, I will then remind myself that this is not about music and not start talking about my own genres in Arabic language, Arabic music, but I'm very interested in exploring your artistic career. I want to ask you about if you've been to Palestine before.
I've never been before.
This makes us two.
Really?
Never been to Palestine.
Don't you crave it?
I do. Mm. I do. Maybe one day we can go together.
Oh, let's hang out with the Shomali family.
Yes,
I got some cool relatives over there.
So how did it feel growing in diaspora?
Well, like I said before, it feels like not really belonging or where you feel you might belong, you've never been, so it doesn't feel as real as it should, right? When people talk about their home and belonging, it feels like a bit of a dream. But it's so strange. It's something that I feel within my body and my mind. It's like it's in my blood. And the Shomali family in Australia, we say Shomali, but the Shomali family is, it's a long line, and I say they've been there, we've been there for such a long time. Yeah. I guess it makes sense that I feel a pull towards the area. And one of my dreams is to go back and pick olives with my family, hang out with my cousin, Amer, who's a really cool musician.
Good. We're looking forward to getting to knowing him, hopefully, maybe at least online. Mm-hmm. So, Alice, I want to come back to the event. Mm. Now, the event is a bit of a special event. So in the last 2 years, we have been invited or participated in organizing in tens of events for Palestine, mm-hmm. which is amazing. But a few of them do stand out in terms of their creativity. This is one of them. So tell us about this particular event.
I'm really pleased to hear that, Yusuf, because I know you've been involved in so many events already. So this event is special because it is centered around sharing the words, the art, and the testimony of particularly people in Gaza, but Palestinians and people in the Palestinian diaspora. And some of it is, you know, it includes poetry, it includes prose. Much of it is quite hard-hitting testimony of what people have been going through on the ground over the last 2 years. And we're sharing that testimony. We've asked six people who are very highly respected from the pro-Palestine movement, yourself included, Yusuf and Hannah. And it's, yeah, it's an opportunity to bear witness to the experience of genocide by honouring and respecting and listening to the words that have been generously shared by Palestinians.
Hannah, is it heavy to read the voices or to echo the voices of people who are not in the room, and also those who wrote about the diaries of genocide? Is it heavy on you to give them the voice? And how do you deal with the heaviness of that?
Yes, it's heavy. And it should be. It's a weight that is worth bearing. The words have been written to be read and shared. And these people have written them to be remembered. I feel the emotions, right? I feel as though these words deserve the intensity of emotion, to have that real reaction. And so I'm comfortable with feeling that pain. But I also know that that pain can be directed in purposeful ways. There's so many ways you can speak out and help. And so the real key is, yeah, feeling that heaviness, feeling that pain, and then doing something good with it, even if it's just one thing. I really like the notion that something is better than nothing.
And I also share the views on that it's okay to feel burdened in a good way. Not, we're not burdened in a negative way. It's not like we have to do it. We choose.
Absolutely.
But it's okay to feel the pain. And it's just the difficulty of representing the absent. And sometimes the concept of being absent, it's something that has been imposed on us Palestinians by the occupation in different ways. So since the beginning of the Palestinian struggle, even before Israel was born, being absent has been imposed on us by death, by imprisonment, by expulsion. And we talk about it, so we represent the absent. And that is not a very easy, it's not easy at all. But knowing that it's not easy is part of the acknowledgement of the difficulty. And a project like this can be one of, this is why I think it stands out, because this collection of poetry, it's like we have been entrusted.
Yes.
By the creators of this, to give their voice on their behalf. And that is a heavy responsibility.
Absolutely. But it's so worth it. We have to do it. I believe it's a duty.
We will take a break. And after we come back, Alice, we want you to tell us about more about the readings. Also to tell us more about those who wrote them. You're listening to Palestine Remembered on 855 AM. We are going to listen to a song, Hannah. Tell us about the song.
You're about to listen to a song I wrote called Know the Way about 20 years ago. It's about the Israeli occupation of the Palestinian people.
Know the Way by Hannah Shomali.
Hi, this is Rafif Ziada, and you're listening to 3CR, pro-Palestinian, happily proud radio.
Know the Way by Hannah Shomali. Tell us about Know the Way.
Know the Way. I wrote this song, like I said, quite a long time ago. It was in response to a few things. First of all, trying to figure out where to put the rage and the sorrow that I felt about what was happening to the Palestinians. But also within the song, there's a line that is, but I've got my fight on. The fruit that I'm holding, I just need to let go. And the fruit in that line is a tomato. I remember my mum telling me a story about a news article she read where Palestinians were referred to as tomato terrorists. She told me the story described Palestinians who, armed with nothing but tomatoes, would throw them at oncoming tanks or soldiers or invaders. I was really compelled by that, compelled enough to turn it into a song.
Alice, I want to ask you about the event. Tell us about the date, the time, the venue, and how we can get tickets.
All important details. Thanks, Yusuf. So it is on Thursday this week coming up, so the 6th of November. Starts at 6:30. It's on at Vic Trades Hall in Carlton. Solidarity Hall, and you can get tickets. You can just Google Voices Under Fire, Gaza, and you'll see the Humanitics page there, and you can get tickets.
And the money raised will go to a worthy cause, I understand. Do you want to tell us about that?
Definitely can. So it'll go to a couple of families who are based in, so they're in Gaza. So we'll go to important things like rebuilding their lives, essentially. Food, medicine. Obviously, food is still quite hard to come by for lots of people. In fact, Hannah is, so you're friends with Amer. If you want to talk a bit about
tell
him.
Us, yes, tell us about Amer.
Amer, the Al-Masri family. Amer, I met him on Facebook, actually. A mutual friend had been supporting Amer and his family a little bit, shared his page, and I decided to reach out to Amer on Messenger. Found out he was the same age as me. 1986, what a great year. When I met him at the time, he had two children, Lana and Omar. And as I got to know him and supported him with whatever little donations I could afford each payday, his third child, Dana, was born. And I've been lucky enough to watch them grow up. It's been simultaneously a great privilege to know them and to watch them grow up, but really traumatic to see how this current, I suppose, iteration of the genocide, right? Of the long ongoing genocide, how this has affected them. It was like every photo I saw of them, they were thinner and thinner and more gaunt, more depressed with each tent they had to move into every time they were displaced.
You've touched on an important aspect that often goes undertold, which is the accumulation of pain. This is something that we don't think about when we see the last phase of pain, and we only know what else they have been through if we get to know the people, the person. As an example, I saw an image, a picture that stood out in Gaza of people saving an elderly woman after Israel bombed their building in a refugee camp in Gaza. And then I asked myself, what else did this woman see in her life? And then I followed her story. I found the woman, and turns out that she was 12 on Nakba, Israel, when the Zionists made her a refugee. And she was younger than 18 when Israel came back and bombed her refugee camp in 1956, Suez Canal crisis. And then she was in her late 20s in the 1967 war when Israel occupied Gaza. And then you can add the other layers and the other shades of pain. This event is a testimony by the diary of the genocide, is a reminder for us, for the audience, to know what else did the Palestinians in Gaza see before the worst chapter, which is the genocide. Alice, I also want you to tell us about the selection process and the pieces.
Yeah, and just on what you were saying, Yusuf, one of the pieces we have describes kind of the discomfort, the extreme discomfort and the banality of living in a tent, you know, through summer. And just, it's not necessarily the things that you always see on Instagram, like the kind of really acute, terrible aspects of the genocide, the bombs, the murders. It's the day in, day out, just kind of drudgery of it. We've been quite mindful, as Hannah and I have been putting these pieces together, of trying to tell as much of the experience in a fulsome way. We've got some poetry by very well-known poets like Mahmoud Darwish and Rafat Al-Arir, who I'm sure a lot of the listeners already know. But we've also got a piece by Hiba Abu Nada, who was she was martyred at the beginning of this iteration of the genocide. But she was a 22-year-old up-and-coming poet. You know, she was so skilled, and the world has lost a lot by not getting the opportunity to hear more of her writing. So we're trying to, in putting these together, we've tried to get a kind of represent that difference of experience.
This is a good segue to the text, the readings. We will listen to a short selection from what we are going to read on Thursday. Hannah will read one part and I will read the other. So, Hannah, what have you chosen for us to share this morning?
I've decided to read a piece by Mossab Abu Toha. This is called What a Gazan Should Do During an Israeli Airstrike. Turn off the lights in every room. Sit in the inner hallway of the house, away from the windows. Stay away from the stove. Stop thinking about making black tea. Have a bottle of water nearby, big enough to cool down children's fear. Get a child's kindergarten backpack and stuff, tiny toys and whatever amount of money there is, and the ID cards, and the photos of late grandparents, aunts or uncles, and the grandparents' wedding invitation that's been kept for a long time. And if you are a farmer, you should put some strawberry seeds in one pocket and some soil from the balcony flower pot in the other, and hold on tight to whatever number there was on the cake from the last birthday.
This is very powerful. Thank you very much, Hannah. Alice, remind us of the details of the event on Thursday, and tell us what else are we going to see in that evening.
This Thursday, 6:30 p.m., Trades Hall. If you don't have a ticket, just come. We welcome everyone to come. In terms of other things that we have on the event, so it's not just readings. We'll also be beautiful music playing. We'll also have some videos. Hannah, a video from your cousin, which is really exciting.
Tell us about that, Hannah.
My cousin Amir in Bethlehem took his camera, went to the markets and just took some footage. There's some really beautiful footage there. It'll be paired with some musical pieces.
That's amazing. Alice, I want to ask you, as a non-Palestinian who's involved in the Palestinian solidarity, how do you deal with questions like, what is it to you? Why do you single out a particular cause when the world is filled with other causes, like you have Africa and South America and Congo and Myanmar? Why Palestine, and why should we single out and bring to Australia this cause? How do you respond to the question, why Palestine?
There's so much going on in the world. There is a lot of pain. There are a lot of awful things and a lot of violence going on. But there is something about Palestine that speaks to this moment. There is something about our government's support for the Israeli regime that I think means that it is imperative that we speak out about Palestine, that we do all we can about Palestine, because we bear responsibility for it.
Mm-hmm.
It is a direct part of our colonial legacy as a British colony here in Australia. I think it's also one of the worst examples of the very worst of colonization.
Mm. Hannah, I want the closing remarks for this interview to be yours. You have the mic. You can make any statement, any reflection you want. The mic is yours.
There's so many people that I've had conversations with who are so overwhelmed with everything they're seeing on the news or on their feed as they scroll through quickly. And I understand the overwhelm. It is overwhelming. And they feel not only powerless, but helpless. And there are a lot of people like that in my life. And I want to say to those people, come to this event.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know what to do, do something. Come to this. Hear the words that were written to be heard and felt and resonated with.
I really look forward to sharing the stage with you on Thursday for a memorable event. Thank you, Alice and Hannah.
Yusuf, thank you so much.
It's our honor. Thanks, Yusuf.
Alice Drury and Hannah Shomali, co-organizers of Voices Under Fire, readings of poetry and voices from Gaza, this Thursday, the 6th of November, a very worthy and meaningful event not to be missed. We've come to the end of this week's episode of Palestine Remembered. Thank you for joining me and my guests. And until we meet next time, this is Yusuf Ahmed Rimawi, wishing you the best of time. I'll leave you with a reading from Hiba Abu Nada, 11 October 2023. Gaza did everything she could to confront this oppression. She surpassed imagination, rose above the limits of the possible and the impossible, smashed all the statues and prohibitions, invented a steadfastness that will be taught in history, ascribed to Gaza. And when the lies are shed, the politicians and their hypocrisy fall away, Gaza will remain an incomprehensible, impossible legend, a world record that cities, civilizations, armies might only attain in an era of prophets and miracles. We have done what we must to reclaim our rights, to fight, to endure on behalf of the nation and all of the oppressed in this world. There is nothing to regret or grieve before God. And before ourselves, we are people with a rightful claim. Our duty in this covenant was to endure and to strive. Everything else is left to God. In Him we have faith. In Him we trust. If we perish, It is a badge of honor, and if we survive, let us tell the tale and bring our story before the eyes of the entire world. Between the two, we have our rituals, tears, patience, sadness, remembrance, hope, and despair. And if we die, to speak on our behalf, there were people here who dreamt of travel and love and life and other things. We are under the plains, and God is higher than they are, and higher than they are.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast. If you found it valuable, please consider donating or subscribing to support independent community radio. To find out more, go to 3cr.org.au.